Before we begin the prayer, I thought we will have a two-liner prayer song. Most of you would already know this. The words are very simple. It goes like this: let the words from your word and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Let the words from your word and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. I will sing it once, and those of you who know, join along with me. For those who don't, we will learn it together. Let the words from your word and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. You can join me this time. Let the words from your word and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as you all are aware about the World Day of Prayer and our Marthuma connection with the World Day of Prayer, we've been celebrating this for a real long time together. So why do we pray, or who is in need of our prayer? Why pray for somebody else? If you've visited the St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York, right in the middle of Manhattan, there's a beautiful cathedral. If you get a chance, you could visit it. That's a picture in the night of the cathedral. And if you look at one of the pillars of the cathedral, it says like this: in a city that never sleeps, someone needs a place to pray. In a city that never sleeps, someone needs a place to pray. And that is the motto of the World Day of Prayer as well. In all the glitz and glamour of life, when everything looks rosy and flowery outside, in all different walks of our lives, we go through our own brokenness. And all of us and everyone around the world is in need of our prayer. And which is why World Day of Prayer focuses on a particular country in the world to meditate about the things that are happening in that country and to pray for people who are in need of a prayer. So it's an international interchurch organization that works for the welfare of countries all over the world. And by the grace of God, I was elected on the board a couple of years ago, and I've had the privilege and honor to work with a wonderful set of women who volunteer their time, just like me, in bringing about peace reforms in countries all over the world. And we are working in connection with all other countries, and especially we are working really hard up until the World Day of Prayer 2022, and all the themes are ready. We are busy working on the workshop. And I belong to two committees on the board. I work with the Program Development Committee and also the Evaluation Committee. So by the grace of God, we've been doing extensive work in this field. And I request all of you to continue to keep the board and our connections with the Marthuma Church in your prayers as we continue to work together. So Slovenia, one of the smallest and youngest countries in Europe, have prepared this year's service. And as you all are aware from the video, and the theme for this year is Come, Everything is Ready, based on the parable in Luke chapter 14, verses 15 to 24, from the parable of the great dinner or the banquet which the master has prepared. Now, if you look at Jewish tradition or Middle Eastern tradition, food coming together was a great part of their lives. So their Jewish worship considered fire, priest, and most importantly, slaughtering of animals, or, you know, bringing a food together on the table. So we see that coming together in food is like having communion with God. When you come together in one mind, you're able to eat with people, and that is a communion that they offer with God. And if you look at Isaiah, we see a chapter in Isaiah that speaks about how God prepares a great banquet for us on the top of a mountain. He prepares the best food, the choicest food for us, and all you need is to hear the invitation and come at the banqueting table of our Christ. And this is a representation of God's eschatological kingdom resting here on earth while we are part of his great banquet. So a banquet is a celebration to Jewish people. A shared meal was something very personal, very intimate, and a mark of friendship with somebody. So if I don't like somebody, we wouldn't be eating together. So eating together was a symbol of love, being with one another, being united with them. And Jesus also announced this good news with eating with people. He ate with sinners of that time. He ate with people who were marginalized, who were ostracized, who were pushed to the margins, and he healed them. He restored them in a very special way. So Jesus was being the role model of inviting people to this banquet. If you look at Paul, he talks about the Corinthian church, about how he was able to bring the church together, to come together in meals, to offer praises together. Now, if you look at the word fellowship of food, or if you look at the Greek translation, anganzo means to force, to compel, to bring together. There was this kind of pushy hospitality we see in the Middle East, which is practiced even today. They won't take no for an answer when you're invited to be a meal with them. So we see the same meaning in two other references in the scripture, in Luke chapter 14, and also in Luke chapter 24, verse 29, where we see the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they were asking Jesus to stay with them, to tarry with them one more night. The same meaning can be seen in Acts chapter 16, verse 15, where Lydia met the disciples, and she asked Paul and his disciples to stay with her. She prevailed upon them to spend time, to have fellowship, to offer hospitality to others. So this parable that we are going to look into today, the parable of the great banquet or dinner, I thought we will look into five different characters from this parable that talks to us about what happens in this story. The first one, as the story begins, it opens up with an upset master. A master has invited people for dinner, and there is no one at the banqueting table. It starts off with an upset master. Sangadapattirikkunna oru udamasthane, nirashayilaya oru udamasthane kaanan saadhikkunnu. Ellarum vilichu koottittum aarum veettil varathathayulla oru avasthayilaya oru master. So we see that, you know, being invited for a banquet is a privilege, but when you turn down the invitation, what is the feeling that the host has? The host here is in utter disappointment because nobody turned. Think about the grief and the broken heart of this great master. And that's the same broken heart sometimes our Father in heaven has, because he has invited us to his great banquet, but we turn down his invitation. But he's also a God of great mercy and grace. And that's the next one we come to, God's undeserved grace and mercy, and he offers it to all of us. Devathinte karunaykkum krubaykkum onnum arhathayullavaralla nammal engi thanne karuna nirnja kannullavaru oru devam nammal ellarum ee virunnilekku swagatham cheyunu. And we have rejected his invitation, made other things our priority, but despite that, his arms are open wide, inviting us, welcoming us into his banquet, even though none of us are worthy to be at that table. Thirdly, the third you that we come to is a call to the untouched and unworthy people. തൊട്ടുകൂടാത്തതും അയോഗ്യരുമായുള്ളവർക്ക് ഒരു സ്ഥാനവുമില്ലാത്തടത്ത് തൻ്റെ വിരുന്നിലേക്ക് ദൈവം സ്വാഗതം ചെയ്യുന്നു. അതാണ് നമുക്കിവിടെ കാണാൻ സാധിക്കുന്നത്. സോ വി ആർ കോൾഡ് ടു ദ ടേബിൾ. വി തിങ്ക് വി ആർ ദ പ്രിവിലേജ്ഡ് ലോട്ട്, ബട്ട് ഗോഡ് ഇസ് ലുക്കിംഗ് ഫോർ ദോസ് അൺവർദി, അൺകോൾഡ്, അൺറീച്ച്ഡ് to be at his table, and that includes you and me. We may not be physically challenged, we may not be crippled, but we are spiritually blind. And how many times have we turned a deaf ear to the struggles of people around us? The fourth thing that we come into is unexcused absence and lame excuses. ഒഴിച്ചുകൂടാത്തതായ അസാന്നിധ്യവും നമ്മുടെ കുറേ മുടന്തൻ ന്യായങ്ങളും. ഹൗ മെനി ടൈംസ് വി ഹാവ് ഗിവൺ ദിസ് അൺഎക്സ്ക്യൂസ്ഡ് ആബ്സെൻസസ്. മെനി ടൈംസ് വി ഹാവ് യൂസ്ഡ് ദീസ് ലെയിം എക്സ്ക്യൂസസ്, ദോ ഷാലോ എക്സ്ക്യൂസസ് ഫോർ നോട്ട് ഡൂയിങ് ഗോഡ്സ് വിൽ. വി മേ ബി ഏബിൾ ടു കൺവിൻസ് അവർസെൽവ്സ് ദാറ്റ് വി ആർ ഡൂയിങ് സംതിങ് നോബിൾ ആൻഡ് ബീയിങ് ഓഫ് ഗുഡ് സർവീസ് ടു അതേഴ്സ്, ബട്ട് എക്സ്ക്യൂസസ് ഡെഫിനറ്റ്ലി ഡിസോണർ ഗോഡ്. ഇഫ് യു ലുക്ക് അറ്റ് ലൂക്ക് 14 വേഴ്സ് 18, വി സീ ദാറ്റ് the first person gives an excuse saying that I have bought a piece of land and I need to go and look after it. Now, you know, in the Middle Eastern setting where this parable happens, no one buys a field without checking it out first. If you go to buy a field, you look for the springs, you look for the wells, the stone walls, the trees, the paths, how much amount of rainfall, what's the accumulation of wind. We'd look at all these things even before we begin discussing to buy that property. So we know that is this excuse was a lie. And it was also stating the fact that the field was more important to this person than his relationship with the master. And next we see in Luke 14, 19, I've bought 5 oxen and I need to try them. And so please consider me excused. Now, teams of oxen in the Middle East are bought in 2 ways. If you have oxen to sell, you bring them to a field, and just like you test drive a car, you can take a pair of oxen, walk around it with the field, till it, and see if the master and the oxen have a good relationship together, and then you buy the oxen. Or the other place, if you simply have an oxen to sell, you will let people know, ask people to come over and take a look at the oxen, and you buy it. But here we see a man who already bought the oxen, and now he's going to try his oxen. Another big lie, another big excuse. So we see that even here, he was trying to tell the master that he has other priorities right now. Luke 14, verse 20, we come to a married person who is with his wife, and for that reason, I cannot come. In a very tight-knit Middle Eastern community, a wedding calls for celebration. A wedding calls for invitation. Everybody in that community would have known about this wedding. He didn't secretly get married during that wedding, or even if he did secretly get married, he already had accepted the invitation to come to this banquet. And again, he offers his apology, saying that he cannot come because his wedding was scheduled and he's married and he needs to spend time with his wife. And we see this was another excuse. Can you imagine how the host felt when all these people turned down his invitation, who had more important and urgent things to take care of? Have you experienced this kind of rejection from a previously accepted invitation? How does it make you feel? Let's put ourselves in the master's shoes and see how this makes each one of us feel. And we are good at making excuses in going to God's banquet table. But the good news of God's kingdom is sharing meals with people, include those who are marginalized in his time, and he's inviting all of us to be at that banquet. Finally, we come to the fifth characteristic call, which is God's urgent, unique, and universal plan. ദൈവത്തിന്റെ അടിയന്തരവും അത്യുല്യവും സാർവത്രികമായുള്ള ഒരു നിയോഗം അല്ലെങ്കിൽ പദ്ധതി നമുക്കിതിൽ കാണാൻ സാധിക്കുന്നു. ഗോഡ്സ് ഏർജന്റ് കോൾ ടു എവ്രി വൺ. വി സീ ജീസസ് ഇസ് കോളിംഗ് അസ് ടു ദ ബാങ്ക്വറ്റ്, നോട്ട് ടു കം അറ്റ് ആ ലീഷർ ബട്ട് ടു കം റൈറ്റ് നൗ. Come right away. Only a unique God can invite or prepare a banquet of such a kind and open it for all of us. It's a universal call to each and everyone, and there is absolutely no exclusions. So therefore, let us be ready to accept this invitation to God's great banquet call. He brings in the undesirables, so he gives the command to bring the poor who aren't normally invited to the banquets, the crippled who cannot test oxen in the field, and the blind and lame who normally don't marry. Many of you would have known about the homeless Jesus sculpture, and this is a universal symbol all over the churches, and especially found outside many popular Catholic churches and cathedrals and basilicas all over the world. So last spring, Achin and I got a chance to visit the Basilica of St. Mary's in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and this is America's first basilica, and then we see another homeless Jesus bronze sculpture outside the city. And this was dedicated by Pope as a universal symbol on the World Day of Poor. And this sculpture, if you can come to the sculpture, you can see a faceless man covered, shrouded in a blanket outside a church in the cold days of winter. This particular figure has no face. It is supposed to be a life-size Christ figure, to see Christ in anyone who is in need of our arms to help. And it is to challenge us and to inspire us to be charitable to people who are in need, to be compassionate to those who are homeless around us. As a church, we cannot exist when there are still people who are homeless, who are in need. We cannot be enclosed without people that are around us who are in need of our healing. And just like the old African American hymn reminds us, all things are ready, come to the feast. Come, for the table now is set. He famishing, he very come, and you shall be richly fed. Hear the invitation, whosoever will. Come, praise God for his full salvation, whosoever will. Let us pray today for those who are not at our table. Let us pray for those who haven't heard the call to this banquet. Let us, like the women of Slovenia, challenge us, widen our communities so that we can be welcoming to people around us who are in need of our arms as well. So, ellam tayare aayirikkunnu, varuvin, come, everything is ready. Shall we pray? Sneha virunnanu bhavipan, sneha virunnanu bhavipan, sneha deva makkal larum kooduvin, jayam jayam namukke, sneha Savior Sangha members to lead us in a prayer.